This is OPB's Quick Take Northwest. Today is Thursday, the 3rd of April, 2008. I'm April Baer. Good morning. Very much enjoying my penultimate day of podcasting. As you might have heard yesterday, we're going to be making some changes with this podcast, going to a format with longer stories, a little bit more in-depth, and with a brand new host, Christian Fodenvenzel, who's going to be taking over for me on Morning Edition. I know change is difficult, but I think you're going to like this. There are all kinds of long-form features that you have been missing out on. You'll be able to hear these longer stories on this podcast starting next Monday. In our news today, Democratic Congressman Earl Blumenauer has posted online a list of local projects that he wants funded in the federal budget. These budget requests are known as earmarks. Government accountability groups have been calling for a long time for greater transparency around the earmark requests. So far, fewer than a quarter of all members of Congress post their details. Last week, Republican Congressman Greg Walden posted his $80 million in earmark requests. From a cell phone in Washington, D.C., Congressman Blumenauer told us that he thinks this transparency will spread.
This is what we'll all end up doing sooner rather than later. There's always a risk, I suppose, when you publicize this, that there are some people that feel disappointed. You raise expectations.
Oregon Reps Peter DeFazio and Darlene Hooley have said they will not be posting their earmark requests this year. Congressman David Wu has not commented publicly on the issue. Blumenauer sits on the powerful Ways and Means Committee, and this year he's asking Congress to fund $350 million in specific Oregon projects. That includes an extension of the Portland streetcar and the light rail MAX system, as well as deepening the Columbia River Channel. It was a year ago this week that the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide are pollutants that can be regulated under the Clean Air Act. As Andrew Thien reports, some state leaders say that the Environmental Protection Agency has been ignoring the court.
Oregon Attorney General Hardy Myers joined 16 of his colleagues, environmental advocacy groups, and others in calling for immediate action by the EPA. The ruling last year said the EPA has to determine whether carbon dioxide is a danger to public health. If a danger exists, the EPA would have to regulate sources of CO2 emissions. Myers said EPA staffers did file a report on the dangers of greenhouse gases, but it went nowhere.
That determination was sent over to the White House, the Office of Management and Budget, and it has been stalled at that point since then.
EPA officials say they are taking on all sources of greenhouse gases, not just cars and trucks, and they are not seeking a hasty solution. Andrew Thien, OPB News.
Chelsea Clinton is going to be traveling to Oregon. Arrival date, April 12th. She's campaigning, of course, for her mother, Democratic Senator Hillary Clinton, in her contest to beat Senator Barack Obama in the contest for the Democratic presidential nomination. Oregon's primary is May 20th. The Clinton campaign says that Chelsea Clinton will attend the Oregon Democratic Convention in Eugene. She will be the third member of the family to be showing up. Hillary Clinton is making stops in Portland and Eugene this Saturday, and former President Bill Clinton was in the state earlier this week. A two-day strike at a Vietnamese factory that contracts with Nike to make sneakers has ended. The Ching Lu plant is one of 10 factories that contract with Nike to produce sneakers in Vietnam. It employs 21,000 people. About 17,000 of the workers reported into work yesterday after labor union and management reached an agreement to increase monthly wages by the equivalent of $6. The workers had been asking for a 20% bump to their $59 average monthly salary and better lunches at the company cafeteria. The company agreed to give a 10% raise and provide those lunches. Despite the agreement, though, the plant had to be closed after the police were called to break up a brawl. A union official says the factory is probably going to stay closed for several days. A company based in Bellingham, Washington, is closing its plant in Salem in June and will lay off 57 employees. Transocean processes imitation crab meat. Company President Rick Dutton says that efficiency has been improving and that the market for raw materials has changed. Ultimately, Dutton says it became economically impossible for the company to keep both the Salem factory and its Bellingham operation going when one would suffice. Oregon's public health officials have barred a Portland lab from testing drinking water samples for more than 400 public water systems across the state. The interim state public health director, Michael Skiles, says that an on-site inspection of coffee labs in Portland found significant problems.
The way that the data were being reported, there were errors, there were methods being used that were not approved by the US EPA, and these were so significant that we felt they represented a public health threat, and so we had to take immediate action to suspend the laboratory's accreditation to test public drinking water supplies.
State officials say there's no indication anyone suffered health problems associated with drinking water tested at the lab. The lab mainly tests water in smaller municipal systems, like that for Estacada. It also was responsible for testing water in larger cities, such as Gresham and LeGrand. The city of Portland tests its own drinking water and is not affected by the suspension. Coffee Labs has 90 days to request a hearing. Oregon's second annual report card on special education shows an uneven performance among the state's public schools. Rob Manning reports.
Changes in federal requirements have made comparing school district results with state targets like comparing apples and oranges. But some results on the special ed report are fairly clear. For example, fewer than 6 in 10 Oregon students on individual education plans are graduating with regular diplomas. That's significantly lower than the graduation rate for mainstream students. Portland, Salem-Keizer, and Beaverton all have graduation rates below 60%, but Hillsborough's is up in the 70s. Greg Zinn is the executive director of special programs at Hillsborough. He credits a new resource center and targeted curriculum.
We've really emphasized services to impact those kids.
Oregon school officials are expecting that next year's special ed report will reconcile the different definitions so that state data can be easily compared to the state targets. Rob Manning, OPB News.
Stats are in for Oregon's prison population. It looks like the number of inmates grew slightly last year, reaching a total of 13,405. The prison population is expected to grow at a slightly faster rate this year, about a 2.4% growth rate. Officials say that mandatory minimum sentences for certain violent offenders have driven the growth in prison populations. Repeat offenders for property crimes like theft and burglary have also boosted the numbers. We've got another beautiful day in today's forecast. More on that in a minute. Also, cold temperatures tonight in the Northeast Mountains. Since nighttime temperatures have been so cold lately, quite a few fruit growers in the Northwest are waking up in the wee hours of the morning to protect their trees. Icy weather can kill off the buds and blossoms needed for a healthy crop of cherries, apricots, or apples. Correspondent Anna King looked into this.
Whenever the temperature dips below 32 degrees, a loud bell awakens Gip Redman. The alarm tells the Eastern Washington farmer it's time to start up some of his 2,000 propane heaters. Over the last 3 weeks, other Northwest farmers have also cranked up their water sprayers, wind machines, and smudge pots to save their crops.
You're gambling and fighting Mother Nature, which is an awesome force, and your whole livelihood, the year's crop, can depend on your success. So from that side, it's kind of exciting, but it's definitely a grind, and it's nerve-wracking.
Even with all this hard work, Redman estimates he's lost about 10% of his cherry and peach crop already. But despite that, he says it still could be a profitable year. I'm Anna King in Richland.
Turning to sports, the L.A. Lakers got their revenge, beating the Blazers last night 104-91. Blazers guard Brandon Roy missed a third straight game because of a strain in his right groin muscle. Coach McMillan says Roy will miss at least one more game before possibly returning next Tuesday. In baseball, the Portland Beavers open their Pacific Coast League schedule tonight against the Fresno Grizzlies. It's the start of an 8-game homestand. Beavs manager Randy Reddy has announced the five pitchers who will make up the starting rotation. Josh Gier, Wade LeBlanc, Cesar Ramos, and Arturo Lopez will be joined by Sean Estes. I promised you nice weather today, and I deliver. Clear skies all over, with coastal highs reaching 55 today. And in the valley, things will be warming up to 60 to 65 degrees. That's good for Portland and Vancouver, all the way south through Salem, Corvallis, and Eugene. Central Oregon's temps will be in the upper 50s today, maybe brushing 60. And in the Eastern Gorge, highs between 62 and 70 degrees. The rest of Eastern Oregon is expecting highs in the lower 50s. Again, near record lows tonight for the northeastern corner of the state, especially the Blue Mountains and the Wallowas. 25 to 35 degrees on average this evening. That's it for today's podcast. Thanks for listening. Signing off, I'm April Baer.